There we go.
Yep, we do. Good evening and welcome to the regular meeting of the Harbor Advisory Board for the City of Morro Bay. Today is Thursday, December 5th, 2013 at 6 p.m. Please let the record reflect that we do have a quorum. We have six of our seven seats here with one vacant. And we will start off with a moment of silence. Thank you, and we'll now move to the Pledge of Allegiance. Please stand and join me.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and we'll now move on to Chair and Advisory Board Member announcements and presentations. We will start down at this end.
I just have an announcement to make. It is my intent to not continue on the Harbor Advisory Board after tonight's meeting, assuming that the January meeting is canceled. And the reason I'm making a public announcement about that is that I would like to encourage anybody in the Morro Bay area who has a boat or fishing or harbor interest to contact the city and apply as a replacement for my position on the Harbor Advisory Board. I want to thank the harbor staff for all their work, and I want to thank all my colleagues for the time spent with them. It's been a rewarding experience. But that's my intent, and I will talk to the city about that on Monday.
That's it. Thank you, Jim. We'll see if we can talk you out of that, but thank you for sharing that with us. We'll move on down the line to Dana.
You can't go. You got to stay for the Harbor Advisory Board meeting this next year. Thank you.
Thank you, Dana. Bill? I would like to remind everybody, if you don't know by now, we have an annual fun event here in Morro Bay. Every year, something that's looked forward to is the Boat Parade. So this year, the Boat Parade being sponsored by Rotary, I believe. And so thank you, Rotary. Saturday, December 7th, 7 p.m., so come down to the waterfront and enjoy something. Starts at 6:30 p.m., thank you. So come down to the waterfront and enjoy one of the special things about Morro Bay. We won't have a next meeting until the year 2014. Can you believe that? So Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to everyone and Happy Holidays to everyone. And since we will be going into 2014, I want to urge anyone in the audience, anyone listening at home, to email either Eric, myself, or any other board member with issues that you think are pertinent and important to the city of Morro Bay with regard to the harbor, because we want to have a full agenda. We want to be proactive next year and do what we can to better our city. So please get a hold of us with anything that you think is important with regard to the harbor in Morro Bay. Thank you. Lynn.
Only a comment to the general public. At the last meeting, Gene warned people, winter is coming, check your lines on your boats. Well, winter came last week, and there were a number of incidences around in the harbor. Check your lines, make sure they're secure, and make sure there's no chafe.
Thank you. Gene?
She took the words out of my mouth. So.
All right. Well, thanks. We're going to go out and buy new lines now. Thank you very much. We will now move on to our public comment period. So if there is anyone in the audience that would like to address anything that is not on the agenda, you're free to do so at this time. We do have one item on the agenda, which is the request for a review of the request for proposal for Verge's sport fishing. So if you're here to comment on that, please wait for that item. We'll be at that fairly soon. Otherwise, I welcome you to the podium at this time to share anything you'd like with the Harbor Advisory Board. And please state your name and city of residence.
Jeremiah O'Brien, and I didn't intend to speak a public comment, but I certainly agree with Jeff, Jim, that I hope you consider reconsidering. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeremiah. Further public comment? Seeing no further public comment. Public comment is now closed. We'll move on to the consent calendar, item A1. I have to apologize for any sniffles or nasal me. I've got a cold, so if you see me go for these, I apologize in advance. Consent calendar, item A1, the approval of minutes from the Harbor Advisory Board meeting held on November 7th, 2013. I trust you've all had a chance to review the minutes as presented. Are there any changes or amendments? Yes, Jim.
I don't have any changes or amendments, but I do have a question regarding some of the items that are in the minutes. If I may ask that question of Eric now, would that be appropriate? Or do you want to, since it has nothing to do with the approval of the minutes, you want me to do it afterwards?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, if you would, please. I'll thank you.
I move to approve the minutes.
Oh. Okay.
Did you need to get anything in?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
One thing I saw was in the overview of item C1, overview of the state marina major maintenance plans. If you go down, it says major maintenance program of the state park marina. Well, I guess I just got to read the whole thing. From the second sentence, Mr. Gillen gave the board an overview of the major maintenance program of the State Park Marina for the current years 2012 and 2013, and said that utilities had been upgraded and two docks been rebuilt, and there were two more docks left, 5 and 6. I just remember that throughout this conversation that we were having with him, the utilities was a big issue that he still needed to work on, and it had to do with the transformer that is nearby. He can't get any more power out of it or something like that, and I think and he actually said, you know, it would delay me doing 5 and 6 if I were to upgrade the power, because that was an issue. People couldn't use electrical cords, everybody use electric at the same time, and there were some problems with that. So I just because those were pretty much some of the complaints that we were trying to resolve.
And I do remember as well, I would concur that I remember him saying that in general there was a need for an improvement in the electrical utilities there.
Yeah.
Does the board agree with that? So would we be okay with adding that to the minutes? Is that an accurate reflection?
Yes. Yeah, I think the distinction I remember asking him in regards to replacing the docks if he upgraded the outlets, and he said he did. But then he went on to say that he has limited amount of power,
right?
Right.
Because of the transformer, and I think both of those things are correct.
Yeah, as I recall, I'm recalling the same thing. And we can go back and double check the DVD, which is better record than anything, and defer approval of these minutes if we need to go there. But I recall the same thing. With his fingers. Replacing the fingers, he's upgraded and redone the electrical out on the docks, but he said back on land is where he's limited, and that's
correct.
Where a major upgrade needs to be done, because he doesn't have enough power to feed everything. So it's kind of two separate issues.
So I think we're all right if the board agrees by simply amending the minutes to state that Mr. Gillum stated that there was a need for an improvement in the electrical utilities
onshore.
Is that fair, everyone?
That's what I was talking about.
Okay. So Polly has received that amendment. Are there any other amendments or changes to the minutes? All right. I'll look for another motion. All right. Motion to approve by Bill, seconded by Dana. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That carries unanimously. We'll now move on to our public hearings, item B. And item B1 is our Harbor Department status report with our Harbor Director, Eric Endersby. Eric.
Thank you and good evening. I, too, would like to thank Jim for all his years of service, and I'm going to put him on the spot. Jim, you know how many years you've been on the board?
I spent 1 year observing the board, and
if you count that, it's just around 10.
Mm-hmm. So about a decade.
I was confused about when my reapplication date was. So I thought it was coming up in January, and I guess I re-upped last January.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm afraid you're obliged to stay on.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thanks for all your time. It's been great. Great to work with. I really appreciate it. So on to status report. A couple perpetual items here, one of which hopefully will not be perpetual for much longer. It won't be perpetual for much longer. New Harbor Patrol vessel, as you know, we started funding last year and went out to bid early this spring. Don Radden down in Santa Barbara became the winning bidder for new patrol vessel construction. It's been going along really well. We've been down there about every week, making progress visits and making decisions on where things need to go. One thing that has continued to plague us and still plagues us is our fire pump. We're having a complete diesel-powered fire engine pump package that comes from one of the larger fire equipment manufacturers built. And basically, it's a drop-in and a kind of a plug-and-play sort of operation. It was ordered back in May, early on, when the boat started construction. Continued delays in getting it. It finally got shipped out about, must have been August or September. Damaged in shipment, had to go back, and Florida's where it's coming from. Now we've got some compliance issues with the engine in terms of whether it's Tier 3 compliant or not. So I think we're through those and come to an agreement with the pump manufacturer. He's Don Radden. He's been at the forefront of it because he's the one that subbed with them. But we think we've got it resolved. Hopefully, I'm still crossing my fingers and knocking on wood that we're looking at delivery sometime this month. We're going down next Monday to do some sea trials. He's got the old pump and engine still in the boat, although the engine will be swapped out. I think what we're going to end up doing is putting a new diesel engine in. Pump stays. So we're going to sea trial it with the equipment on, just knowing that the weight is that's approximately what it's going to be, and we want to get the sea trials out of the way. So next Monday, we'll be doing some initial sea trials down in Santa Barbara Harbor and hopefully get all the boat and operational kind of stuff out of the way next week, and then you can resolve the pump issues and get that running and squirt some water and get the boat up here again, hopefully sometime in December. But otherwise, it's looking great. It's a nice boat, and I'll reiterate, it's yacht finish. It's I feel sorry for the first guy that's going to pump up the dock and scratch that thing. It looks awfully nice. North Key Pier maintenance and repair project. As you know, this has been an ongoing project for better part of 6-7 years off and on. We're currently out to bid on a pretty major comprehensive repair project. Our engineer's estimate is $429,670, but that's for a real basic bottom line. Kind of if you want to term the things that absolutely have to get done red, the ones that are, you know, we'd like to get it done while we're in here. 7 or 8 contractors showed up at the 2 walkthroughs. Obviously, Associated Pacific, couple other companies here in town, are here in the county, and then some from Santa Barbara, and I think a couple as far south as San Diego. So hopefully they give everybody a good run for the money. We get a good bid for our price on what we get there. So shooting for the first council meeting in January to award that bid package, and then late winter get under construction with a little bit of luck. On the lease front, not much other than you've got a pretty big item on the table here tonight, but we had a walkthrough for the Morro Bay Aquarium request for proposal process back on November 20th. Had about 10 or 12 people in attendance. All were associated with the Central Coast Aquarium, the folks down in Avila that used to be the Avila Aquarium out of the Central Coast. And various folks from their organization, Cal Poly, Tenere Environmental, interesting conglomeration of folks that have gotten together and are put together hopefully a good proposal on that, so we'll see where that goes. Events that have occurred, Outstanding in the Field, that's an outfit that came through here on November 3rd. I think it wasn't in time to write it up on the last staff report from the November meeting, but they're a group that goes around the state and puts on kind of custom catered meal events out in farmers' fields, you know, if it's a wine orchard or a wine place, they'll base it around wine. They went up to the abalone farm the day before on the 2nd, based it around, obviously, abalone. They went out to the sand spit, primarily oysters, but also fresh Morro Bay seafood. So they go around the state setting up these kind of catered events out in the field. And they did it out there at the tip of the sand spit. I think they got some barges from Associated Pacific, ran stuff over, had porta potties out there and barbecues and pizza ovens. And I guess a little bit of wind came up, but it died down for them, so it ended up being a pretty good event. They had a good 150 people out there, I think. And it sold out within hours of they post them on the website on the internet, and people sign up for it on the internet, and they sold out within hours of the thing opening up, which I guess is pretty common. So hopefully we'll see them again here sometime in the future. As somebody mentioned earlier, the Light of Boat Parade this Saturday starts at 6:30 p.m. For anybody wanting to come, I advise you to get down a little earlier if you're looking for some kind of parking, because it gets pretty tight packed. Starts down at the launch ramp area, runs up to Target Rock, up by the rock, and then back down to the launch ramp, and a lot of folks make two laps. Some make just one, but a lot of folks make two laps. Got the Whitecaps band on the South Key Pier playing live music, and as I think Jeff said, you've got Morro Bay Rotary organizing the event this year. It's been the Chamber of Commerce in past years. Weather, still yet to be seen what's going to happen. We've got a little storm. Unfortunately, it would be a little easier if it was a definite big front moving through with lots of rain throughout the whole day, but it's one of those, is it going to end Saturday morning and be okay, or is it going to not be? So we'll be putting our feelers out tomorrow with the weather service and trying to figure out what's going to be happening. Either way, it's going to be darn cold. It's a cold front moving through that's going to bring in even colder weather, and I think between the cold weather and it's supposed to be 15 to 25 knots of wind, and hopefully it'll calm down in the evening after the front moves through, but it's going to be cold out there, so you need to bundle up.
Eric, do you have any idea how many boats have...
The applications, Kathy Novak, she also helps me out there organizing the boats and getting them in order. She'll pick up all those tomorrow about midday, so at this point I think maybe there's three or four or five applications that have come in, but generally we don't find out until Friday. But it always seems to be in the 18 to 25 range, so I suspect we'll be somewhere there as well, unless the rain obviously turns to the worst, and it definitely looks like it'll kill us on Saturday. Right now it's looking okay. It looks like it's going to clear out by Saturday morning, but we'll see with the wind. Waterfowl hunting season. Two types of bird hunting occurs in our back bay. Primarily brant goose is what most folks are back there for, although there is a general waterfowl hunting season. It's in basically the waters south of Fairbank Point, which is right immediately south of the Morro Bay. It changes year by year. This year, most of the Back Bay fish and game wildlife area is open this year. So it started the second Saturday in November and runs through January 26th, and then the Black Brant season started on the second Saturday in November, whatever that was, and runs for 30 days, and so they close on December 8th. So that's occurring right now in the Back Bay. So if you're hearing gunshots in the Back Bay, that's probably what it is. And then back on November 16th, Depth Perceptions Diving Services organized another dive cleanup event at the North Key Pier. It was featured on KSBY News, and I think the news reporter actually, Chuck, got one of his good dive helmets or good dive mask on that had the speaker and headphones inside, so she was able to kind of do her report from underwater. It was kind of cool. And they found, a fair amount of stuff. They always do old tires, electric motors, bottles, a lot of man-made debris. Anything with critters living in it that's joint projects to try and build a joint facility, but that never worked out. So they've got $1.4 million for this coming fiscal year. They think they can build about 5,000 square feet, and they're in the process of working with the city council and the city manager to try and locate a site that might work. They've been focusing primarily out at the north end of the intake building, the power plant intake building. We took a little field trip. The mayor, Steve Goschke from over the plant manager over the power plant, myself, and a few members of the Coast Guard property folks went and looked around inside the power plant intake building to see if that would work for them. Obviously, if that was a nice level, flat piece of property ready to build, that would be their number one priority. But and it's, even right now it's not available. We understand the power plant's closing, but that's still not a done deal. So at this point, it's just conjecture. So we're still just kind of scratch around and kicking dirt and seeing where this place might fit. But so far, we've got no definitive viable location that's satisfying the Coast Guard, satisfying us. One location may be Harbor Office moves and they take over our spot. Trouble is, where do we move to? There's possibility of us doing some temporary quarters between the restroom and the taffy shop next door, but Funding for that is yet unidentified, and it looks like Coast Guard probably can't be paying for any of our moves, so it'd be great if they'd kick us out and build us something new, but it doesn't look like that's happening either. So we're still working on it. George League and Mayor Irons from the council are all on a committee with myself and the Coast Guard trying to kind of work behind the scenes and get something viable moving forward for them. We had a vessel fire. Fortunately, it didn't turn into too much of a fire on the North T Pier on the 20 or South T Pier on the 21st. The tugboat, Point Estero, it's now being used by one of our commercial fishermen as a fishing boat. Had an electrical fire. I think it was kind of underneath a bench or a seat. 12 volt, you know, heated up some material and started smoldering. Smoke started coming out, a little bit of flames. The fortunate part was the Coast Guard folks from their engineering folks were pulling an engine out of one of their 47s at the South T Pier. They had brought in a crane to pull it out, so they had a good contingent of Coast Guard folks all working there, pulling one engine out and putting a new engine into one of their boats. So they were all standing by and they saw the smoke. They pulled out the fire hoses and fire extinguishers and they got down there and got it out pretty darn quick. So good timing.
Bob Buckman and Dave Anderson were there on the scene, and they were. They were the ones putting it out.
Okay, well, I stand
just,
correct.
Just so you know. You probably got a report.
Well, whoever. Everybody's involved. Good for them. It was great that, which is pretty typical, you know, whether it's a surf rescue or somebody falling into the bay. You know, we get the emergency call, but it takes us time to get there, and sometimes it takes a while for that call to come in. It's usually the citizens. It's the people standing around. It's the surfers on the beach. It's folks like these that happen to be around that spot it and get and take action and let us know. So that's great news that those folks are around. State Lands Commission, there's been some news going around lately that the power plant, you know, back in 2003, 2004, early 2000s, when then Duke Energy had purchased the plant, was looking at rebuilding, demolishing the existing plant and rebuilding a new plant. They entered into two agreements with the city as part of that whole package as they were moving forward or trying to move forward with the permitting process. One was an outfall lease agreement for our outfall where out at the rock their warm water is discharged in the pipeline leading up to it, which is a lot of it which is in the state tidelands, which is in our tidelands jurisdiction. The previous lease for that was something in the neighborhood of, I want to say it's probably less than $100. It was pretty cheap. Ex-city attorney Rob Schultz negotiated a lease agreement with Duke Energy for $250,000 lease for that for our harbor fund a year, which they began paying. It's got a CPI kicker that's been increasing it a little bit over the years here, and that we've gotten this year's payment. But it looks like if power plant closes next year, they'll probably cease making those payments. So there was that lease. And then there was a community development agreement, a CDA, that stipulated $500,000 a year going into a community development fund during those years of development as well for impacts on infrastructure and sewer and water and everything else. And it was, had the power plant construction gone through and had they built the new power plant, that agreement, I believe, kicked into a higher dollar amount for higher impacts as that project moved forward. Exactly what the details of it, I don't know, because that's not one of our funds agreements. But there's been some controversy going around over the last few weeks that $500 community of the two alternates as recommended by the Harbor Advisory Board. So that'll be heard. And then the harbor rules and regulations changed to allow the fishermen with two vessels, owning two vessels, to be able to keep either one in their slip. So we're taking that language forward and recommending approval of that to the City Council next week as well. So your Harbor Advisory Board in action. Yes.
Thank you, Eric. We'll now open it up to questions for our director, Bill.
You know, it is a moot point probably with the state lands commissions. I did hear that news report. I think that the thing that concerns me more than anything else as a citizen of Morro Bay is that, at least a rumor, and it is strictly a rumor, was that we were misusing funds. And that terminology, I wanted to make sure was brought up in public, and hopefully someone in the city, yourself or someone, is making sure that that allegation doesn't move forward, only in the sense that, you know, the utilization of the funds in the future is a moot point because we're not going to get any. But what has happened has happened, and I just hate to see us, because of an interpretation, have some money that would need to be refunded or, you know, whatever.
Well, the 200... Sorry.
I think that the thing is that supposedly is the land, the power plant, within that zone that all the revenue has to be done and utilized in that enterprise zone. And I don't know if that's ever been, you know, really discussed.
The power plant is not the main part of the power plant. I mean, obviously, the intake building is a separate animal. The power plant itself is outside the Tidelands Trust Enterprise Zone. The line basically on the shore side is the center line of Embarcadero, and then it runs off up the dirt extension and down the beach a ways, and then goes out to about Highway 41 somewhere. You know, if you follow the dirt road out, cross the creek, and then about to Highway 41, then out to the 3 mile line. That's where the line is. So everything east of the center line of Embarcadero is outside, is in the regular part of the city. The intake building itself, that even though it's within our box of the Tidelands Trust area, it's private property. It was never Tidelands Trust property from the get-go because the power plant owned it before the Tidelands Trust area was designated. They own the intake structure, the parking lot there, and they also own basically the parking lot between, you know, the high tide line and somewhere on Embarcadero Road between Harbor Hut and Gafco Restaurants. They own that as well. There was plans for a secondary intake there when they were going to add more units way back in the past, when that's what they thought they were originally going to do. So they own that in fee. So those are little carve-outs within the enterprise zone that don't count. As far as, you know, any allegations or rumors of misuse of funds, those were, the city negotiated those two agreements back in the early 2000s and put the 250 to the harbor and the 500 to the community development fund. That was the city's belief and intent, and that's how it started from the beginning. Where the funds have gone in the community development fund into the general fund, I don't know. That's outside the Tidelands Trust, and whether anything, any issues that there exist or not, I have absolutely no idea.
Where, you know, just like what happened to the city of Atascadero when they received money for rebuilding, and then all of a sudden now I think FEMA wants $2.9 million. That's my only contention here, is to make sure that we stay on top of this.
Well, I would piggyback on your comment, Bill, because it's also been reported or speculated upon that the city is under investigation, which is completely false. The State Lands Commission is the body that would be doing the investigation, and they have told the city, as it's indicated in the memo that's in our report from the city manager, that two individuals out of the millions of people that live in this state reported what they thought were concerns to the State Lands Commission. So anyone, of course, is free to report their concerns, but that certainly hasn't risen to the level of investigation. So the State Lands Commission is doing no investigation of the city at this point in time. Any other questions or comments with regard to that topic specifically? All right. Other questions with regard to the status report? I've got one, actually two for you, Eric. You mentioned on the North T-Pier maintenance and repair portion of your report that Associated Pacific had put in for bid. I was just curious if AIS had as well.
I don't recall seeing AIS. There's Associated Pacific. Trying to think what other local.
Any other questions, comments regarding the Harbor Director's report? Gene?
The only comment I might have would be on the aquarium. I understand that they're going to the Bay Foundation for funding.
That who's going there for funding?
The Central Coast Aquarium people.
All right. Any other questions, comments? Dana?
Yeah, this is in regard to the Coast Guard building status.
this $1.4 million, is there a time limit? Is this a, something they're trying to get done? It kind of sounded that way. I did have a conversation with Bill Main.
Yeah, that's a
Coast
great
Guard,
question.
It's planner.
It's designated FY15 money, which kicks in October next year, 2014. But they've indicated that to be fiscally, financially responsible, they should have a project, a viable project, in hand, so to speak, come March, I think. Does that sound right, Mr. Mayor? The Mr. Mine from the Coast Guard, he said, you know, for their fiscal year 15 money, he thought it was sometime in March that they needed to have a decision made or not, that whether they're going to spend it, otherwise they need to revert it back because they couldn't wait till the very end.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
Any other questions? All right.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So, yeah, by March, they kind of need to know.
I've got more questions. Okay, so I was just kind of curious because why this was routed around us, you know, being that it's a harbor issue. I mean, I understand it's the U.S. Coast Guard, but according to our bylaws, this is kind of what we're supposed to be here for. I also heard mention that they were expecting us to build a boatyard for them. I mean, that we were building a boatyard for the city, and that they needed to use it, which made a lot of sense. I was looking at what you were talking about as far as locations, and now there's looking at north of the intake building, where was one of our alternate sites for a travel lift, other than South T Pier lease sites. And so I'm just really interested in this. This seems to be something that is we somehow maybe should be in the middle of also, or you know, at least have some communication given to us regarding this, because there's a lot of issues here that we need to deal with. So I guess that's
so
basically my question is why we're not involved.
And I had several people ask me about the process itself. I couldn't answer that question because I don't know what the process is with regard to this particular development. We're fortunate to have our liaison from the City Council here, Mayor Irons, so I'll welcome him to the podium to maybe make some comments on this.
Yeah.
So maybe because this is the Coast Guard, it's a little bit different process.
No, thanks for the comments. I think, and Eric can probably comment a little bit on this as well, the Coast Guard contacted the city in February, and so Eric, you can weigh in on this as well. So there was initial contact with city staff, and this obviously didn't go to the Harbor Advisory Board. It went, you know, from staff to City Council on this proposal. They are trying to expedite this, right? I mean, they, you know, we've already gone through two meetings, and we're working through a subcommittee with George and myself to kind of just work out those guidelines. You know, I'd be glad to, you know, talk with you and maybe, you know, whether or not Eric, you know, we want to get together on this. But, I understand your concerns. I think some of the feeling with the Coast Guard is there is a timeline, and they're looking at, you know, focused areas. So at this point, and then under the advice of, our city attorney as well, as far as what the scope of our subcommittee can be. So at this time, it's just George and myself, and then we met with a conference call, which, you know, I think they were going to contact us sometime after the holidays, which would be Thanksgiving. So I guess we're expecting to hear back from the Coast Guard, and some, you know, I would hope, you know, sometime in the next week or so. But, you know, hopefully that'll kind of sum it up. But, you know, initially they contacted the city in February, and it's just gone through the process. It hasn't, you know, they haven't designated, hey, let's go through the Harbor Advisory Board, let's go through City Council. It went straight to City Council, and they're just trying to expedite the process.
Mayor Irons, do you know if there will be an opportunity for public input? I think that's what's been unsettling to some of the people.
You know, actually, no. Public input's always available at a city council meeting. You know, I think we had the first one. That proposal came out no different than at the Harbor Advisory Board. And certainly, you know, the next thing that, you know, if this comes back again, we can make sure that all that...
Please, Eric, is just throw out the Harbor Department and just just build right then and there. Simple as that. Done. Now, I'm not saying now we have to find a place for the Harbor Department. I don't know how easy or how difficult that will be. But that would be the most logical thing to be probably resolved within a very short period of time. Just my comment.
Yeah, thanks. And I think, you know, at our conference call, they've got some ideas, on, and they'll come back with that. And, you know, like I say, I think after maybe the next week or so, they'll come back, and we'll have some more information on that as well.
I see that Jim has a question.
Yes. I'm wondering, you know, considering the urgency, apparently, of the Coast Guard needing to spend that money, if the Coast Guard and or your subcommittee that's been working with them since February has any idea how long the Harbor Department and, by virtue of that, the Harbor Advisory Board has been dealing with the issue of a boat haul out and boat yard. And yet it seemed from the meeting that the Coast Guard says, oh, yeah, we'll use it. Does that mean they will build the haul out for this? For the Harbor Department?
My understanding, no.
Are they just ignoring our interests altogether?
My understanding is no, but let me clarify. So in February, the Coast Guard contacted city staff. There wasn't a subcommittee put together until after the first council meeting. So, you know, the subcommittee hasn't been involved in this. This, you know, initially went to staff and Eric and city manager, and there's probably a couple others involved. We're working with the Coast Guard on this before it even came to council. And then it came to council. We had the first meeting. Then they came back the second meeting saying, hey, how can we kind of expedite this? And then we got the subcommittee going so we can, you know, work some of those out. But you had one more question that I don't think I answered. What was it, the second part of your question?
The significant part of my question in my mind is the Coast Guard aware of how long the issue of a boat yard and a haul out has been an interest to the Harbor Department and the Harbor Advisory Board? It's been for years.
Mm-hmm.
It goes way back beyond my time on the board.
Right. And Eric might be able to speak a little bit better to that. I mean, he's had, you know, more conversation than I have.
Yeah, they are. I mean, the main Coast Guard contact, Bill Mine, I remember from back in my part-time days when we were considering the joint building. He was involved with it, so he's been around a long time. I think Boatyard has been banting around a long time as well. I think, you know, to kind of put the timeline into perspective a little bit, if I can embellish a little bit, you know, Coast Guard contacted us in February saying, hey, we've got some money to spend. It wasn't 1.4 at that point. I think it was closer to 900,000. And they said, we're looking for a location and I think it's grown from 5,000 square feet. I think initially it was 2,000-3,000 square feet. They came to us in February and said, hey, we've potentially got some money. We're looking to build a little one-story building that we can have some administrative offices in and back our patrol boat into the inflatables or the safe boats into, not the big boats. And where do you think it could go? We're looking for something within a stone's throw. We don't have to run 5 miles. Can we come have a visit and have a walk around? We said, sure. And so they came and sometime in February, it might have been early March this year, we walked around. It was myself, city manager, Rob Leivick from Public Services. I think Rob Schultz was there. A couple of folks from the Coast Guard station, local Coast Guard station. That might have been it. And a few from the Coast Guard property division up in Alameda. And we walked around and looked at north of the power plant. We looked at Coleman Beach area. We looked across the street at the power plant intake building area. We looked through the power plant's fence and looked back there and said, ooh, we'd like to have that. Looked at the Triangle property, you know, the little lot on the south end of the power plant that we're just about wrapped up with the power plant, obtaining ownership of that. Intake building area. Just kind of walked them around everywhere and said, here's possible sites. You know, here's open land. Here's where it might work. Give us what you think you want. Give us a proposal and we'll take it forward to the city and see where it goes. Well, I think at that point, it took them a while to get back to us. It probably wasn't until late summer that they got back to us. And at that point, it was our understanding from the February meeting that it was FY14 money, which was money right now this year, and then it needed to get spent, like hurry up, quick. So they needed to move fast. And then it morphed into a 5,000 square foot building, and then we gave them the Northern Waterfront Improvement Plan, the work that you, the Harbor Advisory Board, has been involved in, and all the conceptual stuff with the boatyard haul out that we used to have to the north end. We gave them all that information, and they kind of zeroed in on some locations that they thought would work that were within a stone's throw, didn't have to cross the street, open space. Unfortunately, between the Northern Waterfront Improvement Plan ideas with the possible boatyard haul out at that end and other things down there, the boardwalks occurred. It wasn't some effort to bypass the Harbor Advisory Board by any means.
There you go.
Thank you for that explanation, Eric. Gene has a question.
Yeah, couple of comments. It's too bad that the Harbor Advisory Board wasn't in the loop, and at least with a status update. I think that was not fair to us, nor the public. And as far as the Coast Guard, if they're going to be using eminent domain to take over our Coast Guard, our Harbor Department building, I'd say let them take over the intake building. That would work just fine for them. And
if it were only that simple, Gene.
And $1.4 million to build an essential facility, that's peanuts. It's going to be 10 times that much.
Yep.
I talked to Bill Bain, and he said it would take all that $1.4 million just to clean up that intake building. He says it is a huge liability.
So let's keep our questions based on the process at this
point.
Well,
I would like to, but it kind of, as I'm having a conversation, it gets thrown to other people, so I haven't been able to continue my conversation as it began.
It is your turn now.
I'd love to, if you want to talk offline, after the meeting, I'd be glad to talk to you about it.
For this, right here.
Yeah,
and that's why we're here. It's what it says in our bylaws. And, we're looking at a project right now tonight that's on our agenda. It wasn't a future agenda item, but it's here, and we're looking at that. But, these things, they kind of come at us just kind of out of the blue, and then other times, we don't hear anything about it. You guys, this was two meetings at the city council meetings. And that was something that they were asking for, was a boatyard. They were just saying, well, you guys are going to build one anyway, so we'll just use that one. And because that was the question that was given to them, are you going to build this boatyard? Because they were talking about it. So I think that we are a board that could help in those decisions as far as the waterfront and what looks good right here, what might work for them. A combination, I know you said that a combination building with the Harbor Department and the Coast Guard may not work, but maybe it would. Maybe it really would.
Yeah. And
that might be the only thing left.
I think Eric kind of laid out the timeline, pretty well on how all that worked. I don't think there's any intention to overlook the Harbor Advisory Board. It's just the way it kind of worked out this time. I don't think... if you feel that there's not the value in the Harbor Advisory Board, I would say that's not true whatsoever. I hear you loud and clear, Dana.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Any other questions?
Oh, one more. Gene.
Yeah, really quick. The $1.4 million, it wouldn't be to build a building. It would be to design and engineering and all that stuff. That's where the money's going to go.
Thank you, Mayor Irons, for coming.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Any other questions or comments with regard to the Harbor Director's staff report, status report? That concludes your status report. Wow. Lit them up on that one, Eric. We'll now move on to item C, which is unfinished business, and we don't have any unfinished business. So we're done with item C. It takes us to item D, new business. Item D1, request for proposals, review and evaluation of proposal received from Verges Sport Fishing to develop currently vacant lease site 107W and 108W. Eric.
Thank you. So as you know, earlier this year, the city put out for request for proposals for several vacant lease sites. One was the this lease site here, 107W108W, which is the vacant kind of water-only lease from the top of the revetment down between the South Tee Pier and our fishing vessel slips. One was 49W, which is a little 50-foot wide lease site immediately south of Associated Pacific Constructors, and another is, I don't know the number, but it's between the restroom next to our office and Krill Saltwater Tapping. We put those proposals out, RFPs out. They soaked out in the public for a couple months. Received one proposal back from Burgess Sport Fishing to build a small tackle shop and landing on the 107W-108W. The RFP, since we received only one RFP, the RFP itself originally stipulated that we'd have a selection panel, anticipating, you know, three or four or maybe at least two competing proposals for one site. We were going to have a selection panel that was going to grade and rank those proposals and then pass the recommendations on to the Harbor Advisory Board, and the Burgess as well elected that it is proprietary, and we didn't want to put that out to the public. We will comment on that, and I think the proponents of the project will comment it a little bit as well in terms of what their financial capabilities are. But so that's why you don't see that information. Staff, meaning my staff, we did go through the proposal and make sure that it hit all the check boxes in the RFP. It did. So it's deemed worthy of further evaluation. Fiscally, if that lease site is developed, we would obviously see some sort of positive fiscal impact, because it'd be another lease site that would be making money where one was not before. So that's kind of the nuts and bolts of it. The proposal itself will be going through the RFP, and there's, I think, eight or nine criteria that we go through. I've given you all those on one-page note kind of taking sheets that you can keep in front of you there and write any kind of notes, and then come up with ratings. We put in the RFP themselves, I think, like I say, eight or nine different categories that we'll be evaluating on. The proponents of Verges are here to answer any questions, and they're here to make a presentation. And then Mr. Eccles, you and I spoke earlier today about kind of how this might work, and we'll do sort of a roundtable, open comment process here and interview process of the proponents as well, and then hopefully be able to come up with some sort of conclusions and grading of the proposal and give something forward for the City Council to do with.
Thank you. So we will bring up to the podium the submitter of the proposal and or her agent. Are there any quick questions or comments for Eric on his introduction, though, before we go on? Just want to make sure everybody's clear on what we're doing. Okay, good. So I'd invite up to the podium at this time Sharon Moore or her agent.
Good evening, Chair Eccles and members of the board. My name is Kathy Novak from Novak Consulting, and I'm here this evening representing Ms. Sharon Moore for her proposal. For my presentation this evening, I'd like to talk about the conceptual project and then the special criteria that staff has set to evaluate this proposal. Burgess has been in business in the general vicinity since 1954. However, they were required to move their operations and now have a tackle shop and a retail store up on Market Street. The Burgess boats are currently moored in the bay and or tied up to Gaffco. Burgess has been searching for an appropriate permanent building location on the Embarcadero so they can continue the sport fishing and whale watching trips. There are three main reasons why Burgess has selected these lease sites for their proposal. First, the objective is to construct a new building and floating dock and relocate Burgess back to the waterfront. Second, the Embarcadero, Burgess was conscious in picking a location on the north end of the Embarcadero to minimize any impacts to the main retail area located in the south. And third, this location has traditional uses with both commercial fishing and sport fishing activities. This project, as proposed, will be on two city lease sites, and the entire lease sites are a total of 5,500 square feet. The site is located on the western side of the Embarcadero and adjacent to the city's South Tee Pier. Both lease sites currently are undeveloped. However, there was a small sport fishing operation in this site during the 1950s and the 1960s. Burgess is proposing a 1,450 square foot building that will include a tackle shop, ADA restrooms. One will be exterior for the public access and one interior for employees and patrons, an administrative office, rental pole, storage, and a 250 square foot public waiting deck with benches. The proposed building will be 17 feet in height above the South Tee Pier. It will have a 3-12 pitch, which will lower the overall profile of the building to minimize any impacts of the view shed. As for the Harbor Walk, the city constructed the new Harbor Walk along this portion of the Embarcadero a few years ago. The project, as proposed, will leave the Harbor Walk in its current configuration and construct the building approximately 4 feet westward to avoid interfering with the walkway. There are no additions proposed to the Harbor Walk since the South T Pier provides for public access on the north in the existing walkway to the east. In addition, the proposed project includes a 60-foot long by 8-foot wide side-tide dock with a gangway from the South T Pier. The dock has been designed to minimize encroachments to the T Pier and commercial fishing docks located to the south. The proposed dock will be approximately 93 feet from the T Pier leg and approximately 80 feet from the commercial fishing docks. This distance will provide enough room for safe navigation to the T Pier and will also allow for continued use of all the slips at the commercial fishing docks. Last, I would like to discuss the parking for this project. The tackle shop will require 3 parking spaces and potentially 9 spaces for the boat. However, in determining the appropriate number of parking spaces, there is sufficient data to support this project will not generate any new parking impacts and will also qualify for previous parking credits from the prior and existing uses. For background information, there has been historic use of this site by sport fishing boats from records that show Morro Bay Sport Fishing operating the Flyer from a small tackle shop adjacent to the South T Pier. Second, the GAFCO project approved by the city included 3 sport fishing boats from Burgess to operate at that location. Just looking for a presence on the waterfront with a reasonable sized tackle shop that can accommodate their operations. In addition, the proposed docks are limited in size to accommodate 1 boat so as not to interfere with the existing uses of the T Pier and the commercial docks. The design as proposed concentrates the tackle shop development on the 1 lease site and the floating dock extends over into the 2nd lease site by approximately 5 feet. The project will also include an exterior deck with benches that can be used by the wading fishermen or the general public to just rest and relax. Overall, the smaller footprint and amenities will provide a quality design that fits within this area. Third is the understanding of development constraints on the Embarcadero. We are all aware this portion of the Embarcadero is under Measure D, which replaces restrictions on businesses located within the boundary. Measure D is also in place to support commercial and recreational fishing industries, so the proposed project by Burgess is consistent with this type of development the city has supported in the past. With that in mind, the applicants feel that the proposed improvements not only promote the fishing industry as a whole, but also go beyond and help with the city's general desire to revitalize this area and provide additional visitor-serving uses. Beyond the Measure D restrictions and other zoning ordinances, there are important considerations that will need to be addressed, such as eelgrass. While a full eelgrass survey has not been done, Ms. Moore did hire a land surveyor to survey the lease site boundaries and the surrounding area in order to provide an accurate location of the existing structures and at the same time work during a low tide so that the eelgrass bed was exposed. This survey has provided initial information on the location of the eelgrass bed so that a preliminary design can be presented to you that avoids the eelgrass bed to the best extent possible. If the proposal for this lease site is accepted by the city, an eelgrass survey done by a qualified biologist will be submitted during the appropriate permit processing time. The 4th item on your criteria is proposed lease terms. Ms. Morris wants Burge's legacy that her father started in the 1950s to continue on for years to come. Her commitment to this and the costs associated with the development warrants a long-term lease. As indicated in the proposal, she will be respectfully asking the city for a 50-year lease. The 5th item for your criteria is the proposal's financial strength. Ms. Morris has been working with a local bank for potential financing, which is a letter to that effect in the proposal. As staff has mentioned that the confidential information for financials hasn't been provided, so I won't go into any more details, but staff would have some, could answer some questions on that if need be. The next item is on the green building features. A list of green building techniques was included with the project description. The project as proposed will incorporate architectural designs such as south-facing windows for natural lighting, composite decking, drought-tolerant landscaping, sustainably produced fiber cement siding for the building, passive ventilation, and more. All in all, Ms. Moore's desires to integrate as many green building and energy-efficient uses as feasible for this site. The 7th item that you have on your evaluation is in regards to the proposer's qualifications and experience. Ms. Moores undoubtedly has the necessary experience and qualifications to bring this project to fruition, especially since she's been the owner of and operator of Burgess Fishing for over 40 years. In addition to Ms. Moore's background, she has assembled a project team including an architect, contractor, and a planning consultant that collectively have over 50 years of waterfront experience to guide her through the process. The eighth item is the ability to secure subtenants. In this particular case, the design does not include any building space for subtenants, so this does not apply. The last item is the proposed schedule. The Burgess team will endeavor to see that the site has been developed to the earliest extent possible while meeting all the necessary environmental regulations, the design criteria, and other standards. Due to the nature of permitting projects along the waterfront, a reasonable expectation of permitting will take 1.5 to 2 years to complete. Once the permits are done, construction can begin soon thereafter, and that should take less than a year. In summary, I would like to say that a considerable amount of time and effort has been put into this proposal to select an appropriate location, a design, and a business that will fit within the city's goals and policies for this area. Ms. Moores will be also demonstrated that her proposal meets the criteria outlined in the city's RFP with realistic expectations of construction timing, experience in the industry, and financial capabilities. Before I close my presentation tonight, I'd like to mention a couple of issues that we've been hearing about. First is in regards to the accessibility to the hoist at the end of the pier and the loss of tie-up space at the T-pier. If you have your plans in front of you, I'd like to direct you to sheet A1.1 and the site plan at the top left. The site plan shows the bottom edge of the riprap. As you can see, the building and dock extends beyond the edge of the riprap line approximately 15 feet next to the pier and about 30 feet at the southern side. If we were to add 20 feet to the edge of the dock, simulating a boat tied up, that would be approximately 85 feet from that boat to the end of the T-pier, and also approximately 73 feet in the midsection to the pier. We believe this leaves sufficient area for boaters to maneuver and access the hoist. As for the tie-up space, I will say that there will be one space that would be lost on the main section. However, it's difficult to say whether a second space would be lost or not. The building and dock were designed as close to shore and the T-pier as feasible to minimize the loss of any additional tie-up space. The other one important item to note here is in regards to the design is that the docks were located in such a way to avoid the eelgrass bed. This fact of not being able to go over a eelgrass bed prevents us from moving the docks any closer to shore. The second issue I'd like to address is the boatyard and haul-out location. I understand this area has been considered as a potential location for a travel lift. The dock as designed extends into the second lease site by approximately 5 feet. There are no other proposed structures in the second lease site, which leaves this entire area open from the bay to the shore and also approximately 80 feet from the dock end on the commercial fisherman's dock to the south. So this location when they were getting the approvals for the GAPCO project, it was determined that Burgess was an existing long-term use down there, and it was at Measure D. And in addition, the part of the discussion at the Planning Commission, I believe it was, during that project, it also said that the local coastal plan identifies that there was, I believe, 12 sport fishing boats that were allowed in that particular area, so that was also part of the approvals that Burgess got when they got to GAFCO. So they've been basically pre-approved because they've been approved for 3 boats at GAFCO already. So we're just locating from GAFCO to one over here.
So the sport fishing, the boats I have no problem with. Creating a new building, does that create any problems with Measure G?
Not that I'm aware of right now. This is something that would be fleshed out during the process as we go through, because ultimately it would be the City Council's responsibility accepting the concept plan and making that determination. But so far, we believe it's all compliant with Measure D.
Okay.
Any other questions for Ms. Novak?
Yeah.
Dana?
Well, actually, I was on the same line as Gene. I was looking at the Measure D and that grandfathering in the passenger for hire boats. You know, you have them here, and then you move out, and then somebody else fills that spot with more passenger for hire boats. Then you come back in a new spot and have more passenger for hire boats. I was just looking at that as that grandfathering, you know, you say we can have 12 according to the city council meeting last year or something, that that's allowable. So I remember we here at the Harbor Advisory Board, we had a whole discussion about Measure D. And I actually liked your recommendation, which was to assess Measure D across all of the lease sites. And because we're starting to, not only the parking, I mean, not only the passengers for hire, but the parking, we're looking at those also being grandfathered, from what I can see throughout this. That's just the questionable part that I had on this whole thing. The building I thought was fine. I didn't have a problem with the building. Allowing this other part of the lease site for a haul-out facility, well, that I'm very happy to hear. So, I guess I just have one other question for maybe Sharon.
Maybe I can hit a couple things that you just said. One, so there was a back in the, was the 50s or so, there was a historic use of sport fishing with a building there in this location. And also on the lease site, when I just a little more on what we were talking about as far as the second one for the haul out, I had this conversation with Eric today. Since the dock that's proposed here, there's two lease sites that are being proposed, 107 and 108W. Since the dock only goes into 108W by 5 feet, and there's nothing else that's in that lease site for as part of this proposal, one of the things that the city could be looking at would be to actually do a lease line adjustment for lease site 107W, move it over 5 feet, make 108W a little smaller, a little less width, and then this project would fit within one lease site and not two.
I like your line of thinking there. Just one other question, kind of doesn't really have to do with this per se, but where do you take your boats to be worked on?
Ventura.
Thank you.
Will I go through the mic?
Any other questions for Ms. Novak? Yes, Bill.
I like this proposal a lot too. As of Measure D, from my understanding, is that, you know, we were talking about Measure D at one of our meetings also, and I think the conclusion that it does allow sport fishing. And so, therefore, if it allows sport fishing, whether it's grandfathered or not grandfathered in, this proposal should qualify under Measure D, from my understanding. So I don't think that there should be any discussion within any type of grandfathering rule. That's just my... So it falls under Measure D according to what we view it as.
Right. And realistically, the tackle shop wouldn't be strictly sport fishing. You know, Sharon, in the past, has always had things that could complement the commercial fishing industry, and a lot of times during the winter time when her crews are hungry and they can't be running sport fishing because the season's closed, their boats do commercial fishing as well.
Any other questions for Ms. Novak? Jim?
I read through the entire proposal and it all seemed pretty straightforward. I too am happy to see Burgess coming back onto the Embarcadero. I went fishing on those boats many times myself in the past years.
They'll be looking at the size of the boat that will be tying up at the dock so that they'll ultimately figure out the exact number of parking spaces that will be required by the project. And then what we do is we go back and we look and say, is there any historic parking credits that can be applied? And then so it will come off the total number. And since Burgess have been approved at Gaffield, they'll reduce the number. So all that will kind of get through the wash when we actually go through the permit process and we work with the planning department once when we have a final project we bring forward.
Who provides the parking spaces for the two boats that are tied up in front of Gaffield?
Those have already been approved, so those parking spaces have already been calculated in with the permit that was issued for Gaffield to have verges at Gaffield.
So they are part of Gaffco's required parking.
Correct.
So the
yes.
Restaurant and the fishing boats are all included.
And the city's zoning ordinance also allows for if there's parking within 600 feet, so we could be looking at the new parking lot across the street at the power plant also for fulfilling parking requirements for over there.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for Ms. Novak? Seeing none, thank you, Kathy.
Great, thank you for your time.
We will now open the floor to public comment with regard to this item. So anyone wishing to address the board, please come up to the podium, state your name and city of residence, and we welcome your comments.
My name is Jeremiah O'Brien, Moabit Commercial Fishermen's Organization, Jeff and Harbor Advisory Board, city staff. The Moabit Commercial Fishermen's Organization spoke to this issue and tabled it at our last officer and director's meeting. And I spoke with Kathy and Eric earlier today to get more detail. I'm going to get a chart from Kathy here, and hopefully we'll present it at the next director's meeting. I think the biggest concerns we had were loss of tie-ups, and parking came up, and I think Kathy and Eric have both addressed those satisfactorily, and hopefully we'll bring them to the organization, and at your next meeting we'll be here with the results of that meeting. And then, speaking for myself personally, I think that a new building down in that area would be an enhancement. Whereas there's been a lot of new construction going on up and down the waterfront and not a whole lot on the north side of the waterfront, so I personally welcome the building, and I think Sharon has been here long enough to deserve to get a new home down there. So anyways, thanks very much.
Thank you, Jeremiah. Further public comment, please.
My name's Alan Allward. I'm a member of the Morro Bay Commercial Fishermen's Organization. I'm a director. And as a boat operator, I have one concern in that I can't look at the plan and tell how that's going to impact me when I try to bring my boat in under that city hoist there. And I would just like to see if they could temporarily, at some point in the process, put poles in and tape or some way so that I could take my boat into the hoist and see if it's going to interfere or not. It's not something you can really look at a plan and say, oh, yeah, I'll be able to navigate around that. I think the person really needs to have some kind of advanced idea of how wide it's going to, how much it's going to encroach on the maneuvering space. I mean, it's a difficult job to bring a boat. My boat's 57 feet long, and my heart's in my throat every time I try to go in there because there's a lot of things going on. So I don't necessarily think it's going to be a problem. I just like to see. I think it would be, I can make a lot more intelligent assessment of whether it's going to be a problem if I could see in advance how big of a space it's going to be.
Thank you, Alan. We appreciate your comments. Further public comment? Anyone else for public comment? Seeing no one else, we'll close public comment.
Pardon me.
We'll now go to the board for discussion. So here's what I propose, board members, the way we run through this. There were the seven items that Ms. Novak, I'm sorry, the nine items that Ms. Novak ran through. I don't know that we necessarily need to go through each.
I know that there are otters that make that area their home there. So that can be addressed. That was only my design question.
Other comments for quality design? Let's bring Ms. Novak up to address the gangway length issue, because that is an important one, and I don't know what research you've done, particularly at low tide on that, as far as the angle that the gangway would have?
No, I believe we have 24 listed in the application. The GAFCO gangway was about 33 feet, I believe. So I believe that's what it came in. It was 33 or 35 feet. I can't remember. We'll be double-checking that, and as we go through the process and actually submit a an application. We'll make sure, we'll look at the GAPCO, make sure that the GAPCO gangway is functioning properly, and if it is, then we can go to that size. And I didn't hear what the second thing you said, Gene, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a habitat for sea otters on a seasonal basis.
Okay, great.
Yes, Bill.
While you're up there, will you address Alan's concern and maybe do some type
of absolutely.
Structural mapping before anything?
When Verges was down at the old place and we had the old proposal down there for the Harbor Hut GAPCO and Verges project, what we did is there was a concern about the distance between the north T pier and the docks down there that were going in behind the tackle shop. So we worked with Eric at the Harbor Department. We went out and we just put some buoys out in the locations. So we can do the exact same thing for this project. We'll just coordinate with Eric, go outside some buoys and locations with a certain number of feet out so that everybody can see, and then we can let everybody know, and then everybody can come by and take a look at it, and if Alan wants to come bring his boat in there and take a look with the buoys, I think that's going to be the easiest.
Any other discussion with regard to design issues? Yes, Dana.
Just not to beat this to death, but I have some experience with gangways, having put a 51-foot one at the yacht club, and there's an issue. I believe it's 25 feet or under. You don't want that, because then it has to be ADA, and it's got to be like the one down at the city docks where it goes really long to get, 20 feet, you got to go 100 feet. So you definitely want to make that longer. The other, I don't know if you know, since there's not an architect here, but the actual floor on top of the pilings or the beams, is that going to be like a concrete slab on top? Because I saw in here concrete finish, a stained finish on the concrete. So I'm just curious about that, the construction of that. I know I'm not.
Unfortunately, the architect didn't come with us this evening, but I don't know. I could find out easily, and I think, it's going to be kind of subject to, as we go through the process and ultimately when we get ready for construction, what's going to be the best. We may have to be looking at putting in some grating materials rather than solid slabs because of any kind of light issues with the eelgrass or whatever, too. So we'll be looking at that.
Thank you.
Sure.
Anything else, Dana?
No, I like the plan. Looks pretty nice.
Well, thank you. Any other discussion with regard to the actual plan, quality of design? Yes, Jim?
I just want to comment that, because I believe it was in the proposal, that one of the benefits to the public will be the availability of another public restroom on that end. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, and I would just mention that within the constraints of that area and the space, I think they did a good job. It looks like a good design to me. Any other questions, comments with regard to design? All right. Does anyone have any serious concerns with design? Okay, good. So we'll move on to the next item. We'll see how we do on this one. This is the Embarcadero. Which also includes an interpretation of Measure D. So is there discussion with regard to that can of worms?
I'm just assuming that someone, a city staff or somebody will make the statement that that does comply with Measure D, attorney or somebody.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And I would think ultimately it would be the city attorney or some to give a statement, a legal opinion on that. I think we're going to get through this one pretty well. Any other discussion with regard to Embarcadero location and Measure D? Oh boy, I can wipe my brow now. Very good. Item 4 is the lease terms. This is an interesting one. So they are requesting a long-term lease, a 50-year lease. I do have a question for our harbor director on it.
I'll say, let's say 45 to 50. Anderson Inn, Marina Square, Mistero Inn, all the major start from scratch type lease redevelopments, and those have been ones that were bulldozer jobs to begin with. They weren't, you know, sort of starting from scratch, so it's a little different. But certainly a significant amount of investment is sort of the first qualifier for how long the lease term is going to be. And I'm going to thumb through here and see what their estimate on their development was. But as I recall from what I saw, their proposed investment level, construction cost, and you know how that always goes. You can probably double it and add 20. Their construction cost, $652,000. Yeah, that's just construction. Yeah, plus, you know, they're going to be somewhere, I'm guessing, somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 million likely by the time it's all said and done, which starts getting up towards that, you know, 40, 45, 50-year lease range. So, and again, depending on what other terms and conditions, you know, we're starting to look at lease renewals a little differently in terms of, you know, not just strictly, you know, how much dollars are you going to spend. You know, it's really, what's the overall return to the city? What's the best return to the city? Are we going to, you know, is the city, the Harbor Fund, going to benefit more from having John and Mary invest $2 million and pay the bank on a $2 million note? Or is the city going to do better and the public going to do better by having John and Mary invest, you know, maybe $1 million and pay more to the city, have a more modest development, but then, you know, have better terms for the city and have that money come into the city's pocket rather than in the bank's pocket? So we're kind of going into a little bit of a brave new world in that regard, looking at different ways of evaluating leases and how we set up the years versus investment and everything else. So, you know, this one I'm sure will be looked at with that light, you know, kind of shining from a little different direction. So, yeah, we'd be looking at standard ground lease terms and conditions, 8% of the appraised value, percent gross of sales, standard stuff there. And that would be something that if we move forward, we'd negotiate with Burgess and see what kind of they're willing to give and what the city's willing to give.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, a factor for me on this one is I'm aware of the years versus investment formula, fuzzy formula, but that generally is applied toward renewals. So a significant factor for me on this, and I wouldn't have a problem with 50 years, is based on the fact that this is just completely undeveloped. It's, you know, it's a curb and riffraff at this point. So I don't have a problem with the 50 years, particularly based on that fact. Any further discussion with regard to the lease terms? Dana?
Yeah, one question. So the 50-year lease, that would start after, like, say, when the building is completed, even though they, I mean, or the 50 years would start then, even though they start a lease before that, so, or how does that work? Because I think I maybe have seen that on some projects. I'm not sure.
Good question. Typically, when new leases have been penned in the past, the special provisions to this particular lease lay out that, you know, tenant shall do A, B, C, and D and spend, you know, 1, 2, 3, and 4, and they'll lay out a timeline, and that lease begins, you know, December 5th, 2013. Depending on where they already are in permitting, kind of depends on how all that timing goes by the time they get constructed and up and running. It's been an issue in the past with some of our lease sites where they went in with, you know, 45-year lease, 40-year lease, started into planning and permitting, took them, you know, 4 or 5 years to get through it, get under construction, get built, get open for business. They've effectively burned, quote-unquote, you know, 4, 5, 6 years of their new lease with their old building and or demolition and construction. So that's something that we've been looking at, kind of doing a little different in the future too, and how do we do that. And more recently, the RFP that went out for the old Whale's Tail restaurant that Stan Van Buren got started out with an initial, I think, 3-year lease that got him up and running. Supposed to have started out with some fairly minor remodeling or remodeling. And then he was going to put forth a bigger proposal and then negotiate for a longer-term lease. He tore into it, turned into a bigger can of worms, ended up giving him those years up front. So that one was a little example of doing a little different, where they give a shorter-term initial lease to get into construction and get the redevelopment done, and then a longer-term lease gets looked at later. So that's certainly something that could be put into the offer, depending on kind of timing and how all that works out.
Okay.
Did that answer your question?
Yes, it did.
Good question, Dave. Any other questions, comments, or discussion with regard to the lease terms? Thank you. Seeing none, we'll move on to the mitigation. Anything else on that? All right. Number seven is the qualifications and experience. We'd be hard-pressed to find a more rich experienced, a more richly experienced applicant.
And I would comment, too, that it seems that the people that they've selected to do the architectural work and the construction work are all local people that have quite a few years of local experience, and that gives me confidence as well.
Okay, good. The next item doesn't apply, securing subtenants. They're not going to have any subtenants. And the last item, looking at scheduling and as rapidly as possible. Yes.
To interrupt you on the subtenants, and I just want to bring this up. There is a possibility that they might sublet to the boat haul out facility proposal organization. And so I want to just bring that up. That if that's a very good reason also to approve this thing, because there is some other options for us if that's the best site. So I just wanted to
Good. Thank you for that comment. Dana, did you have a follow-up on that?
Well, I think Kathy was expressing the possibility of a lot adjustment, a lot line adjustment, and then maybe separating that out so it would be a new lease site. So one way or the other, I don't think it's an issue.
Okay. Thanks. Sorry, I missed you on that by rushing through item 8 there. So back to item 9, the scheduling. Looking at the outer end of the range, 2 years for permitting and another year for construction. It's going to take what it's going to take. Okay. So those are all the items. And again, I don't know how much we need to beat this thing. I like what I see. Any other discussion, Gene?
Yeah, the only question I have, and it has to do with the process. Why is this brought in front of our board Why is this brought in front of our board without it being on a future agenda item?
I'm going to turn that one over to Eric.
Agenda is set by future agenda from Harbor Advisory Board members, by consensus, and also by staff bringing things forward. So this is an item that, it's been bubbling a little bit on my desk for a while, and Verges need to get going on as well. I can't let it sit forever. I mean, they've got a financial stake in it. They put a deposit in. And then the selection committee process and everything going on this summer, just trying to keep it moving forward. So between talking to Verges and then folks over in City Hall, decided to combine it into one Harbor Advisory Board meeting, and not having a meeting in January would have just set it back even further, so I didn't want to push it back any further. So staff elected to bring it forward.
Yeah, and I would add to that the future agenda item is for suggestions, and that staff or the chair can suggest items at any time. Okay. Any other discussion in general before we look for a motion or a recommendation on this?
I just want to say thank you for bringing it in front of us in the sense of something like the Coast Guard, which we had no knowledge of. So bring it on. I mean, if
thank you, Bill. Yes, Dana.
Just one more item, and that was Alan Allward's comment. Just as in regards to the hoist, just a thought came across. I don't know if there's room, but with all the improvements at the North T Pier, and maybe if possible, after a little bit of money, maybe a hoist over there might help facilitate some bigger boats or make it easier. I don't know if that's possible. They seem to be stacked 3 deep over there, too, even on the inside. It's just a thought.
Thank you, Daniel. So I think a great recommendation that was brought up was from one of our local fishermen, Alan, and the people are here at this meeting, our harbor director and the mayor, that and other fishermen that would, I think, heed that suggestion of doing an actual, putting some buoys out there and actually giving the boats that use that hoist an opportunity to navigate around that. So I don't think I don't think we need to include anything that that granular in the motion. But I would entertain a motion at this point to approve the recommendation, to approve the RFP as submitted.
I would second that.
So I was looking for a motion. I wasn't moving that. I'll make the motion if you like. But
I'll make
2014 Harbor Advisory Board meeting. This meeting is typically canceled because of the holidays, and we have a light schedule during that time. I love you guys like brothers and sisters, and I'll miss you, but this seems reasonable to me. So do we have a motion for this?
I so move. We cancel the January 2014 meeting of the Harbor Advisory Board.
Moved by Jim. Maybe your last motion as a active board member. Seconded by Lynn. Any discussion?
I have one little item of discussion, and that is I'm in favor of this because it will give us time to fill a seat here, and hopefully we'll have fishermen coming on. But we also have two trends that are up. Are they being removed? Jean and Clint? We'll see. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to see that, you know, that was going to happen. Hopefully.
All right. Further discussion? So I'm going to break protocol for a moment here as your chair, because we still have a few people here in the gallery, and thank Jim for your service. That was your last motion as a board member. So we appreciate your service, and I'd like to lead everybody in giving you a hand.
Thank you.
You and Gene were two of the reasons why I got on the board. About 8 years or so ago, when I came to town, I watched a few of the Harbor Advisory Board meetings and saw these two crusty old seafarers, and I thought, you know, I wouldn't mind being up there with those guys. So thank you. Thank you very much for your service.
In that same vein, I should thank Don Lockwood, because he's the one that encouraged me to get on.
All right. Well, thank you, Jim. All right. So any further discussion on the motion on the table, on the floor? Seeing none, we'll call for a vote for the cancellation of the January 2014 Harbor Advisory Board meeting. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That carries unanimously. On to item E, declaration of future agenda items.
Excuse me.
Yes, Jim.
I wanted to ask the question about the minutes, and I still do, which I didn't ask because it wasn't appropriate at that
time. All right,
time.
We'll let you get that in now.
Okay. And it is just a question of Eric. Do any of the activities and decisions of the Harbor Advisory Board go out to the State Park Marina? People have boats there. Do they get a newsletter of any kind?
Not from us, not from the city. I don't know if Associated Pacific puts out any kind of a newsletter to their boat folks or not, but no, they don't. We don't send anything directly to the State Park Marina folks.
I was just thinking, looking at the minutes of the last meeting, that item C1 and C2 would be of real interest to members of the people in that have boats in the State Park Marina. Give them a sense of, rather than rest on rumor and such. Mm-hmm. But I was curious as to how that might happen. And that's it.
That is a good point and a good suggestion, Jim. You can now leave it to us to figure that out for you. Any other items for declaration of future agenda items? Gene? Dana?
Maybe the committee that's our liaison can maybe bring to us at the next meeting is a presentation of what Coast Guard's going to do, of whatever your last meeting you guys talked about.
So that would be, are you looking for a formal presentation? Eric gave us, the only reason that I'm hesitating is Eric did bring that up in his director's report.
Mind if I talk a little bit? I know this is kind of this is bothering you a little bit, so I'll just address this. I think what Eric will do is he'll report what comes from that subcommittee meeting. As far as a presentation, we'll have another meeting with him, and when he comes back with this update, he'll report to you with that.
I guess I have one more question. Is there a way for us to have input on that a little bit? I mean, I talked to Bill a little bit about some ideas, but just curious.
Depending on how they're...
Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Dana, we can talk after the meeting. I mean, I can tell, you know, this is... You want to talk more about this, and so, you know, let's talk about it. We, you know, the subcommittee or not... I'd be glad to do that with you.
Thank you.
And I did, and to follow up, I did ask the mayor during his presentation earlier if there would be an opportunity for public comment, and he promised us there would be, too. So we'll make sure that we take advantage of that opportunity in the future.
And I think depending on how timing goes with what Coast Guard keeps coming back to us with, if I may...
A report from the Marine Mammal Center... Morro Bay Community Quota Fund update, State Park Marina, result of City Council meeting, Harbor Advisory Board bylaw changes, result of City Council meeting, which Eric did bring back to us already, and a review of the Liver Board ordinance. So those are some that are out there remaining as well. Eric?
Yeah, I was just going to kind of read the same list. We were going to have a Community Quota Fund update tonight, along with John Greaser from the CCSMA, Central Coast Sustainable, I can't remember the acronym, but it's slipping me right now, but he and Rick were going to come back tonight, but Rick wanted to wait because they've got some activity that may come to a conclusion here over the next couple of weeks, so he's going to come back in February along with the CCSMA. The Harbor Advisory Board bylaws and rules change, we'll see how that goes next week at City Council, and that'll probably just be a status report item, what the council did with that. State Park Marina overview, we were expressed interest in just kind of another overview of everything going on in State Park Marina. I think that was predicated on staff, city getting back with State Park, local district, and the Sacramento folks and kind of figuring out what they want to do. So we'll have something to report back from that once we get there. The marine mammal, liver boards, and some of the issues we brought up out of a report last meeting, and Coast Guard. And so, yeah, it's kind of the same list.
Okay, so you've got lots of things to choose from your hopper there for future agenda items. Any other ideas, suggestions for future agenda items? All right, so I will look for a motion from Jim to adjourn this meeting.
I so move.
And a second? By Gene. All right. This meeting is hereby adjourned. Thank you.